Well, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the content here. We need you. We need you to show up and put forth what you would have us to know. Lord, we ask a filling. We ask a rhema word this morning. So Ephesians, Paul spent 3 years here teaching full on. When he came back through, he was on a mission to get down to the feast days down in Jerusalem, so he called the leadership out into Mileta and met them, because he didn't want to get delayed. And he writes this letter to the Ephesians. Some of the early copies even didn't have Ephesians in it. It was blank, and it was filled out by whoever was bearing the letter to the church that it went to. But it was unlike his other epistles. He isn't addressing an issue in the church, but it's one of his. Admonitions, his edifying, building us up and redirecting us. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, unlike the other apostles who walked with Jesus directly during his ministry, Paul was called after the fact. He was actually persecuting the church, and Jesus came along and knocked him off his high horse, literally, as he was on his way to Damascus. To persecute the saints over there, and said, Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you persecuting me? And so Jesus tutored Paul and changes his name from Saul to Paul, and Paul actually pens two-thirds of this New Testament, right? Much to say, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, because he didn't start out that way, much like me. My dad used to say, I started out with nothing and I got most of it left. Well, praise God, you're looking at a sinner. God didn't save me because I'm all that in a bag of chips. God saved a sinner. And I think that the reason that I'm in Ephesians is because you teach what you most need to learn, right? We need to learn to sit in Jesus' presence. We need our past settled so that it's not haunting us. It's not a place for the enemy to come in and grab a foothold and say, well, you did this and you blew it here and you blew it there. Or the sins that I commit this afternoon or tomorrow. And so, oh, Jesus paid the price for that. And I think oftentimes we know it, but we don't walk in it. We need to be like a child, a newborn child. We need to be nurtured in the fact that we are in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we'll wipe ourselves right out there, the faithful. Well, I'm not faithful, so he's not talking to me. The faithful, those who believe in Jesus Christ. We're not saved because we're perfect. God's making children out of us. He's adopting us, if I ever shut up and get down to it here, into his family. It's his grace. It's the glory of his grace that redeems us. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's kind of one of the points that as I prayed about this and I think that it's not, the Lord Jesus Christ is not Smokey the Bear, okay? The Lord, Kyrios, Lord is who he is. He is Lord, he is King, he is Master, he is Ruler. Jesus, Jehoshua, Jesus is his name, and Christos, Christ, Messiah, the Promised One, the Redeemer, is his mission. And I think for myself, yes, I know he's my Redeemer, but I really struggle to make him my Lord because my flesh wants to reign. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be the doulos, be the servant. But on the same token, as the Spirit is moving through Paul here, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are in Christ, he is our Lord, and we need to sit in that and digest that and let that be a part of our lives. That's the greeting. From here to verse 14 in the Greek, when Paul wrote this, it's one long run-on sentence. Okay? It was one thought that just poured through Paul from 3 to 14. I'm going to read it, and then we'll try to back up and wade through. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wow. Just hit us with a fire hose. Ephesians is 6 chapters. The first 3 are who we are in Christ. And then, so they're doctrine, right? That who we are in Christ. And what he has given us, what he has done for us, what an awesome Lord he is. And then the last 3 chapters are in light of that, in light of the fact that he is our Lord, he is our Savior, what are we to do with it? How do we live with it? So it's what it looks like in a marriage, what it looks like with children, what it looks like in our walk, what that love of Christ in us, that new spirit man. And oftentimes, we want to look at the end of the book. We want to look that way rather than be that way. Hypocrisy comes into play because we're looking like something that we're not. There's an integrity that's missing because we are not sitting with Christ and finding that foundational peace that makes us what we need to be. So that's what you most need to learn, right? You teach what you most need to learn. I don't want to be inconsistent. I want to be the same all the way through. I want my word to be what I do, and I want what I do to be my word. And I want that settled in my life. I don't want to end up, if we flip over from here, this some 30 years later, Jesus writes a letter to this same church. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let us not be those who have left our first love. Read through this, meditate on this, pray through this. Let Jesus be in our lives, and let him be our Lord. I appreciate what Carl brought this morning around Peter. Let it be settled in us that Jesus died for our sins. He didn't just bring us back to zero and zero out all our past and, okay, now we've got to take it from here and get to the end. He died for all of my sins, my past, your past, our present, my present, our future, my future. He died for our sins. He knows we're sinners. He knows we're human. We're fallible. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It is done. It is finished. Tetelestai, he said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus, God the Father, sees us in Jesus Christ. When he looks on us, he sees Jesus Christ. When we are in Christ. But part of that, you know, in Matthew, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Right? Those who love me will keep my word. We're not going to do that perfectly. But we seek him and we rest in him and we are in him. And those things work in our lives. His word, like he says in Ephesians 5, the washing of the water of the word. And again, in later on here in Ephesians, where it's keep being filled, or be, you know, The Greek is emphatic. Keep continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. We walk in a world that does its utmost to steer us away. The prince of the power of the air, blah, blah. I'm not here to trumpet his. Be washed in the Spirit. Be redirected. Don't be stiff-necked and rebellious, but seek the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's not our problem. Our problem is that we are in main in Christ. It's in this world that we have struggles. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Uh-oh, this really got thick. Predestination. Oh no, that's not fair. Yes, predestination is clearly taught in the Scripture. In Peter, he says, whom God foreknew, because God knows the beginning from the end, he knows who is accepting him and who is rejecting. Right? Are we going to receive the gift that God has given us in Christ, or are we going to live in our Frank Sinatra reality where it's, I did it my way? So God can look down through all history and know who is going to accept him. On the same token, it also is clearly taught in the Scriptures, whosoever will. There is a will. When Jesus overlooks over Jerusalem and says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. There's that rub where we won't make him Lord. Even when we're in Christ and well, yes, he's our Messiah. Well, we want the fire insurance. We'll take him as Jesus Christ as Savior, but we won't let him be Lord. Lord, sort that out in our lives. Sort it out in my life. Don't be freaked out that there's predestination. Accept the gift that he offers, and you are predestined. You're not on the outside looking in. But predestination has a purpose, is one of the commentators that I was reading. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Tam and I are adoptive parents, if you didn't know that. We have four children. We have two adult grown children out of the home, and we have two adopted children. And it's a picture here, but it's more than that. These children that I've adopted are heirs to my fortune. Woo! they're not going to get much, but they are heirs. They're as much entitled to what Tam and I can leave them as my older two children. There's an adoption thing here, and it goes on down further on where we're heirs to all that God has. Okay? That predestination, he is building a home for us. None that my Father have given me will I lose. And in the same verse, Jesus said that, none that my Father has given me will I lose, and none that come will I deny? In the same verse, you have predestination and man's ask, right? So don't camp often because you have two lines that are taught in the scriptures, that predestination, and which is what Calvinism and Arminianism, which is man's will, right? That those tracks are parallel. They don't cross at any point. They don't reconcile in our reality. But you take a party hat, right? If I put a party hat on my head, no matter which way I turn, it's a triangle. It's always a triangle. It never changes shape. Until I take it off my head and I hold it by the point facing you, now it's a circle. In the dimensionality that Christ lives in, both of those are true. But in our world, we can only see a triangle or a circle, and we build camps in opposite directions. I'm a circle guy and I'm a triangle guy, and you guys are all wacky. Both are true. In God's economy, this works. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He didn't wait until I was born and say, No, before anything was spoken into, before He said, let light be, He can look and see who is going to accept Him and who is going to reject Him. And based on that, He adopts us into His family, forever family, as Adam says. He has made a place for us. And it's not just in the sweet by and by, somewhere over the rainbow. It's here. It's now. His redeeming blood is here and now. His Holy Spirit is here and now. In whom we have redemption. Sorry, I skipped some. Having predestined us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise and glory of His grace. His grace to redeem the likes of me is so awesome that His grace, the mechanism by which He's done so, needs to be praised. The praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You remember in John, in the first miracle that's chronicled, the wedding at Cana. He's desiring to have a relationship with us that is as unique as our husband and wife relationship, as intimate, as connected. That's why he says it's a man and wife leave and cleave. Because that's to show us something about the relationship that God desires with us. And like everything, it's looking through a glass dimly. It's not all that He desires. It's just a hint of things to come. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Get settled in this. Before you move on, you know, Paul, an apostle, he knows who he is and what God's called him to. Tom, a dad, and a signpost, Jesus Christ, our only hope. Okay? Because I'm not that hope, but I know who is. So I can be a good post. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He didn't leave anything undone. We're not earning this. We're not buying this. It's his goodwill. It's his pleasure. It's his purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when this is all over and done with, okay, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. At the end of it all, he has given me a hope. Not just a hope that I'm going to win the lottery or a hope that I can don't have any flat tires. Hope in the Christian realm is it's a done deal. It's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's coming back. It's a certainty. It's a done deal. Just like if, okay? If has three class conditions. If it is, if and it isn't, and since. Okay? So when you're reading if, you got to look and see by the context what we're talking about. Because a lot of times when he's talking if, it's since. Since this is done, since this was completed, since we are in Christ, we are his children. We are adopted. And that hope that we have is much more like that. It's since. It's done. This is a completed thing in our lives. As Gentiles, we were outside of God's Jewish race, the ones that were given the promise, the ones that were given the oracles of God. And we had no hope. We were, in the eyes of the Jews, we were firewood for hell. We were cordwood for hell. We were dogs. Christ's work on the cross, Christ's work brought a hope, brought a hope in the terms that we use, an ability for us to come before God. And he brings the two of us together, bringing together in one, okay, that he might gather all things, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God gave himself for the whole world might be saved, not just the Jew. God doesn't desire that anyone should deny him and suffer, but that all should come to the saving knowledge. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. One of the commentators I read said that, you know, this is just mind-blowing to the angels. There's a certain number of angels that were created. They're not procreating. They're not increasing in number. And to think that God can take us, sinful man, and make him a child of God. Just mind-blowing to the angels. That's the glory of the Lord. And that is to his glory. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He said, yea, Lord, and amen. And he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. None that come unto me will I lose. We have a home in glory. And there's not going to be a vacancy sign posted there in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Everyone who comes to me, I will no lies cast out. It's a done deal. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. Don't let the enemy steal that away. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Back in the time that Paul wrote this, they would ship cargo and they would seal it, or the gravestone was rolled upon the tomb. Wax is put there. The ring is pressed into the hot wax to make a seal. If you broke that seal, they would kill you. They would crucify you. If they knew that you broke the seal and they couldn't find you, they would go to your village and kill every man, woman, and child in your village. This was not something that was taken lightly. The same, if you shipped a letter, if you sent a letter, or if you shipped cargo, that seal meant that it would get where you sent it. It was ownership. It was, this is mine. And if you read through this and you pray on this, you will find, and you can even see it here, okay? We're not just cargo that is sealed with wax. There is a desire. There is an emotion that God puts forth through here, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Okay, this seal of the Holy Spirit is the earnest. It's the down payment. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Okay, if we were to buy a house or a car, and we didn't have, we would put down this down payment, this earnest, to say, yes, I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to get the rest of what I need to finish this transaction. We put down the earnest, the down payment. I'm sincere in what I'm saying. I'm not just... the seal of the promise, our earnest, until the redemption of the precious possession unto the praise of his glory. The redemption of the precious possession, us, his bride. Okay, the transaction's complete, but the car is still sitting where I left it, when I go get this purchased possession and redeem it out of wherever it is. We are God's poema. We are His workmanship. We are His bride, and He is going to come and collect us to Himself. I don't know where I'm supposed to leave off. Anybody know what time I'm supposed to stop? So verse 15, I got five more minutes? All right. Thank you. Yes. Verse 15, the run-on sentence ends. But it's a prayer. Wherefore, because of all of this, because He has redeemed us, because He has paid the price, because He is Lord and Savior in our lives, because He has first loved us, wherefore, Paul says, because of all this, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, again, Lord, right? God the Father, may give unto you the Spirit and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because He's done all this for us, because we are all of this in Christ, now, Lord Jesus, God the Father, and by the Spirit, make this real, make this known. Bake this in, burn this in. Make this a part of our lives, Paul says, right? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what riches in the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is Paul's prayer. That we may sit in His presence and know this in our innermost. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, His work in us, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your presence and your Holy Spirit, for redeeming us. Lord Jesus, make these truths known in our lives. Help us to sit alone with you and know these truths. that we might know the hope of the calling and the riches of your glory, that we may see ourselves the way you see us, as your dear children, as your dear brothers and sisters in Christ, inheritance in the heavenly. Continually in your presence. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name, we pray and we thank you. Amen.